Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the CU Intersect Conference here in beautiful Newport Beach, California. And look who's in the studio lounge. It's Halloween, actually, with Keaton Tanzer from Riveal. Keaton, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
Doing well. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. You are dressed up as a space shuttle crew member or something like that? Or what's the theme here?
I thought this was a Dodgers uniform. This isn't...
No. Not Dodgers. Yeah. Not this town. No, they are blue. Yeah, the Dodger blue. This is Halloween orange.
I got dressed up this morning on FaceTime with my daughter. She just turned one, and so she had her tiger onesie on. And I said, "No, we'll get ready together." And so got to do that, and it's fun.
Right on.
And I felt like it's kind of more of the spirit of it, having to miss that holiday with her, just to kind of be silly, wear something silly, and kind of being the festive theme.
Indeed. Well, you did good today. And there's more Halloweens with your kids as well. So hang in there.
Not worried at all.
Exactly. It just gets better. It gets better and better. So
Alrighty,
sir. Hey, how's the CU Intersect Conference going for you? We're kind of in day two here. So any highlights or anything like that stand out for you so far?
Yeah. I love this conference. This is one of my favorite shows we do.
Yeah.
And I think just the more of the intimate setting and NCYSO, they do such a good job at helping people feel comfortable talking and building that network. And that's probably the highlight for me. I even sitting in a couple of breakout sessions, and one of the coolest ones was Scott from PSECU and Elizabeth from GLCU. Mm-hmm. And it was the most interactive
good
breakout I think I've seen in a long time, where everyone was really, they just kind of opened up. Here's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. It was on vulnerability management. Mm-hmm. And what are you guys doing? And that's one really, really cool aspect of credit unions, is just how willing they are to communicate and open up. And I mean, even with vendors too, and say, hey, what are you guys doing? And then seeing what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a like standoffish type of environment
or
anything like that. Yeah. It's just really warm, really friendly. And then, of course, getting to see some people that maybe hadn't seen in a year or so. So it's been a ton of fun. And then California,
The weather's not bad today. Yesterday.
I'd never been to Southern California before, admittedly. And so I was like, I got here. I was like, oh, I understand.
Yeah.
This I is get why you pay.
Well, this is the best time of the year to come out, for sure. So fall time in Southern California is, they're second to none, for sure. So, But, I mean, if you're from the Northeast, or you get the trees changing and things like that. So every part of the country has its pluses, for sure, at certain times of the year. So.
But when it's like the second, third week of October and you're already getting snow, like we are at home, it kind of makes you appreciate the warm palm trees.
It's not bad. Not bad at all. Yeah, it's not a cloud in the sky today, for sure.
Yeah.
And I want to get back to what you were talking about with Elizabeth and Scott. They were in here yesterday. Where are they? Monday. Here we go. They're talking about vulnerability management, and they were actually commenting the same thing on how interactive their session was. And they were, as presenters, they were like, "Oh my gosh, this is fantastic." So it sounded like a lot of give and take. So as a presenter, you love that type of stuff. You love the interaction.
Absolutely. And our founder gave his breakout on our really main topic of this year that we've been really pursuing, which is maturing cyber risk into quantitative values and making it a decision-making tool.
Right.
It's funny, we were kind of taking some notes away from that breakout on just how to make it more interactive. Sometimes it's hard. You're speaking about something very specific, and a lot of the times it's on your own knowledge base, right? And so that's where it becomes really informative, but it really starts to get, I think, helpful when you can get buy-in from people and get that communication back and forth.
Right on.
Randy's breakout was amazing. he did awesome, and a lot of great questions coming back. But just, I think it was almost like a bit of a masterclass on how to get interaction with, with your people that are attending your breakout.
Right on. Right. We like the sound of that for sure. Oh, here it is. Yeah, Randy, the future of cyber risk quantification. So yeah,
that's it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and you know, the key with that, when we met last year, we had just released our cybersecurity management platform. We had been using it for consulting services for many years beforehand. We built it from the ground up. And this year, our big message, especially with the change in regulations, is helping credit unions take that IT risk assessment that they might do once a year, put it on the shelf until they have to do it again next year, and turn it into something that can be helpful with their conversations to their board members, as well as make them, in a sense, bulletproof from a regulatory standpoint.
Yeah.
If you have all of additional information and you're doing the right things, you're using it to help make good business decisions, regulators want to see that. And then if you can justify the decisions you're making with a very specific risk appetite that you have, so you're not basing things off of high, medium, and low. You're going off of the, you know, actual financial information and actual financial risk appetite for your institution. You know, then the key is communicating that to the board. So the quantification piece is really crucial for those conversations, because you're not going to, you know, say, hey, we need $50,000 because we have a high risk. You're saying, we have risks in these areas, they're above our risk appetite. We can spend $50,000 on these controls, and we're gonna mitigate X amount of risk. We're gonna mitigate $500,000 worth of risk.
Right.
Here's the return on investment, Mr. and Mrs. Board Member.
Right.
We're making good business decisions. And even if you have a great relationship with your board, it's really important that they understand the strategic steps you're gonna take in order to improve the security program. And that's the way you do it. You communicate in dollars and cents. You communicate with what business people understand. Because if I come to you and say, hey, there's a high issue going on, that might mean something different to you than it does to me. Or if I say, hey, you know, you leave your bedroom window open at night, that's a medium risk. Well, what does that mean to you?
Right.
But if you can quantify that and say, hey, it costs you $5, just lock that window every night.
Really?
But you're gonna,
and that'll save you $50,000 in the long run.
And it's gonna save you
$50,000 robbery or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what's that means something different. And so really helping credit unions understand that that's obtainable to get to, and it doesn't have to be an arduous or hard process or horribly expensive. That's usually the reason why risk has become what it's become in that check the box exercise, is because the solutions that are out there to attain that type of information take a lot of manpower and they take a lot of budget. We've built a methodology and a software where within a good budget, you can obtain that information and really improve that management portion of your program.
Well, and that, and by a credit union using this tool to present that to a board and then to see it come to fruition or see it come true in, you know, a matter of speaking, that kind of positions you as a kind of a trusted resource within the credit union as well, right? So, okay, you know, last year you presented this and it was spot on. So, yeah, so then you go into the next meeting like, okay, hey, we trust what you're saying and we trust that it's going to be true. So it helps out, I think, in that. And I would think it would help you become more proactive as well, especially in cybersecurity area where you have to be proactive.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just helps you understand the business aspects of it more.
Yeah.
And not just only prioritizing based on what's going to be the best security initiative. We like to say we don't do just security for the sake of doing security. I mean, you could throw millions of dollars at stuff just because it's security.
And
oftentimes you kind of see that. It's where there's a bunch of different tools that they've now acquired, and they're kind of all sitting in different spots of limbo. Where now with this process, you can not just prioritize what's going to be the most effective recommendation, but also what's the greatest return on investment. So now you're really taking the member dollars and you're putting them to good use in every aspect. You know, they showed a slide where IT is a, you know, it's a non-interest expense, right? So it's a loss leader for the credit unions. I think it's a great time to take that conversation and say, yep, we need to spend money on security, we need to spend money on IT, but we're not just doing it because there's a new shiny tool. Here's where we're going to benefit from it, and here's how we're then now improving the business aspect of it. And of course, you know, it's not a loan, you know, so you're not getting money back on it, but you could be saving yourself a ton of headache and a ton of stress from a regulatory as well as just a general breach standpoint, If you know the steps you're going to make and how much risk is going to mitigate through those steps, you're going to just be a lot more effective.
Who was talking yesterday? I think it was David Cross from Defense Storm was, gave all these numbers up at the very top. I think $860,000 was like the average cost of a breach or something like that. I don't know. It may be low, maybe high. I don't know. I'm not sure. But he kind of laid it out numbers wise of the, you know, what can happen. So if you present those types of numbers, you know, okay, here's how we weigh this.
Yeah.
And Defense, in a business sense.
And Defense Storm does a great job. I'm not like the world's leader on knowing Defense Storm's product. So take this with a grain of salt, but they do a really great job on taking that real-time information and translating it into actual risk data, right? The next step is then rolling that up into the management level. So there's kind of like the technical operational types of risk, and then there's the management level of risk. And so making it simple but having the right information is really important. So you take all that great data that you have and you roll that into the risk categories, you roll that into your controls from a management level, run those calculations, so our platform goes through the simulations, and then it provides you with even better data. So as long as you can continue to stack good on top of good, you're only going to be able to like not just mitigate more risk, but do it effectively and really efficiently.
Well, I like this conversation, Keaton, because it's presenting it, like you said, from the business perspective. And I'm not sure how many people talk about it like that. You know, they talk about, obviously, it's incredibly important to keep your financial institution or your organization in general super secure because of what's going on out there. And a lot of people seem to be kind of in panic mode a lot of the times. And that's where the logic goes out the window and the business sense goes out the window, and all of a sudden you're spending a whole lot of money protecting you. You might be spending too much. So having it, I like this discussion because it really kind of looks at it logically, I guess, if you will. So and looks at it from an ROI perspective.
Yeah, just, you know, focus on, I mean, and then really with, there's the new ISE control. So it's the new ASET, the NCUA, that's what they would use to examine credit unions with from a technical perspective. And then they've recently changed the ISE controls, and it's definitely more of a risk-based assessment. And so we're seeing it really at a greater trajectory than any year in the past of those findings coming from a risk perspective. Hey, your risk assessment needs to go beyond just a, you know, control gap analysis, because what a lot of the credit unions do, and it's nothing, it's no fault to them, it's nothing bad, it means no offense. But it's just, it's not a risk assessment to the letter of what it is. A risk assessment takes that data and actually provides you with information to be able to effectively move forward. And the best way to do that, really the only way to do that, is to provide those quantitative values. So again, Mr. and Mrs. Board Member, we have $40,000 worth of too much risk. We're not basing it off of gut checks or just kind of arbitrary ordinal scales. This is what it is. Here's the risk we can mitigate. Here's how effective our controls are. We want to improve in these areas. It's going to cost this much, but here's going to be the flip side of it. Here's your return. This is how much risk can be mitigated. And we're seeing awesome numbers. We're having clients go and, you know, say, hey, here's a 1200% return on investment for this change. How can you say no to that from a board standpoint? You know, and it just, again, it builds trust because there's an understanding. And most boards trust their security people. And most of the time I talk to people, they have great relationships. But that doesn't mean that they understand. Like, I have a great relationship with, like, my brother. He's a forensic accountant. I have absolutely no understanding how his actual job works. When he talks to me, it just kind of goes over my head. If he dumbs it down and speaks more to my language, then I can understand. It's just it's a better way to communicate.
Completely.
The real big key is it doesn't take an army of people or an unlimited budget. Mm-hmm. You can do it very easily, mm-hmm. very quickly, and very effectively because of the methodology that we built.
Yeah. And that's good news for the smaller credit unions or the mid-sized credit unions who may not have the resources that the larger ones do, that they can handle this type of stuff.
And you still need to be doing it, right?
Right.
So even
right.
if you're under a billion, even under 500 million, you still need to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well do it the best way possible.
Yep.
If it's going to be a general apples to apples type of a comparison mm-hmm. from a cost and a time perspective, mm-hmm. it's better to do things the right way than it is just to do things to get them done.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good stuff. And is this all a part, kind of wrapping this up in a bow here, is this all part of the maturity of your risk assessment? Is this kind of all part of it?
Yeah, that's generally like the more of the conversation that I like to have with people is just maturing it, because again, I don't want it to seem almost like a standoffish conversation where you put all this time and work into the risk assessment
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it's not that that's going to be bad, it's just not going to be what it's meant to be.
Right.
Right. And so when you start to look at it from a maturity standpoint, it's just that next level up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Beautiful part about it is we've built all of it for you. We've done all the hard work. So you can then just reap the rewards, use that methodology, help us, we can help you get to a point where you're communicating in a much more effective way, you're using your risk assessment to make decisions, you're justifying those decisions to your examiners, and you're kind of becoming bulletproof at least a risk standpoint. You know, I can't make that promise for other areas of your program, mm-hmm. but I can certainly make that guarantee from a risk standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Alrighty, sir. Well, we can be talking about this for the next 2 hours, I'm sure, but I know you got stuff to do.
Oh, yeah. Thank
and,
you for...
appreciate the time, as always. Anything else to add to wrap up here, Keaton?
No, it's just always great to talk with
you,
Mike.
Thank you. Likewise.
I always look forward to it.
Well, thank you. Well, we'll keep this... we'll make this an annual tradition. How about that?
Let's do it.
All right, man. All right, Keaton. All right, well done. Keep up the good work there at Riveal. And what's the website again at Riveal? Or?
It's rivialsecurity.com.
Okay.
So it's RIVIAL mm-hmm. security.com.
Got it. We'll put that link in the show notes so people can get right to it and give you a shout and great look for Halloween. Well done, sir.
Thank you. We'll have some fun today.
Exactly. All right, Keith, well done.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.